Hello and welcome to Dunktown, the podcast where we learn about basketball one game at a time. I'm Anastasia.
And I'm Agata.
And today we have an extra special guest. You know her as a writer and fact checker for The Ringer. It's Jordan Liggins. Woo!
Yay! Woo! So happy to be here.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Yes, we're so happy to have you. How are you doing? How are you feeling today?
You know, I woke up feeling great. My Lakers are going to the finals, and it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day to be alive.
That's amazing. Congratulations. How long have you been a Lakers fan?
Since birth, really. From Sacramento, too, which is a plot twist. So growing up a Lakers fan in Sacramento was not the easiest way of life. But yeah, my dad was a Lakers fan, and I kind of just absorbed his teams.
Nice.
But yeah, it's been great.
You were born, they immediately put a little jersey on you.
Definitely. Yeah. Since even when I first started playing basketball at five, and we were the Lakers then. We didn't even have jerseys. We had like the t-shirts. You know how they do kids? Mm-hmm. They're like, you're too young for jerseys. Something bad is going to happen. I don't even know why they don't give kids jerseys. But we had these bright yellow jerseys and we were the Lakers. And I was like, this is who I am. This feels right.
That's amazing.
And now it's all been building up to this moment when you get to wake up with a smile on your face.
It's great.
It's
great. How do you feel about LeBron?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I am not the biggest LeBron fan. As a person, he's amazing. He's, a top of the line guy. But as a basketball player, you know, I'm a Kobe fan. I was always a Kobe's fan. And then when LeBron became a Laker, I was like, dang it, we're going to win. he's going to be the person that helps us win. And
true.
It's taken me a long way. At first, I didn't clap for him. I clapped for everybody else. And I was like,
oh, no,
you're helping us win. But I've come a long way.
Nice.
That's great. I'm happy.
I mean, you know, there's definitely a lot of good guys on that team to be excited about right now, you know, but Papa LeBron, you can't
Father Time. Yeah. And he's getting better, which is really annoying. Like somehow he's better and even more explosive. And it's like, this shouldn't be happening. I think everybody is like, oh, okay, he's not going to be good. It's the West. I know I was that person. I'm like, LeBron's only winning because he's in the East. And now he comes to the West and does the exact same thing, which I'm like rolling my eyes, but really happy at the same time. It's quite the conundrum.
It's unbelievable.
It's annoying for me just as a human. Like, how is he getting better with age? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the crypt keeper at my age. I'm like getting worse in all ways. And he's just constantly improving. It's amazing.
You know, he's going to be out there at like 80 still dunking.
For sure. I mean, we all see the hairline. We see the hairline. We saw the salt and pepper coming in over quarantine. Like he's old in basketball. He's really only like 35, but he's old. Yeah. He's an old man in basketball world. So I think he's going to play until his son is in the NBA.
I think so. He will will it.
I hope so.
Like, it will happen.
I want that to happen so badly. It would be really adorable.
I actually do too. Yeah, that would be kind of cute. I wouldn't be sad about that.
Yeah, it would be cute. So when did you get into the WNBA?
Really, since I started playing basketball, going back to, you know, being from Sacramento, I was a huge Monarchs fan. I actually, as I say that, I have these really creepy, like, Russian doll.
Oh my God.
Of Yolanda Griffith, who was an amazing Monarchs.
What
and
the
it's
hell?
Still on my childhood desk.
Oh
I'm
my
at my
God.
Parents' house. It's really embarrassing. And there's like multiple inside.
What? I kind of love that. That's amazing.
It's kind kind of really creepy.
It's all her. Each inside layer is her.
No. It goes to different players. So this is Tisha Pinachero, who's my favorite player. And I still have her jersey when I was 11. I could still fit God. It.
Cute.
She signed it for me. And then, okay, so I recorded the NBA podcast for The Ringer, and I was wearing it because I just wanted to, you know, just feel her presence while I was talking about the WNBA. Then I took a picture of it, posted it on Twitter. Then she retweeted it. And I immediately went back to that 11-year-old girl that, like, stood in line and waited for her signature. And wow. I was like, oh, my God. I was, like, running around my house. Like, I was younger. And my dad was like, what happened? It's like, Tisha Pinachero. She just retweeted it. And she said it was cool. And I, like, freaked out. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, that was a little side story for me. But I was a huge Monarchs fan. I went to almost all their games, as many games as I could. Just growing up playing basketball, that was huge for me to be able to see women being successful at
for sure
something that I'm trying to accomplish and play mm-hmm. basketball. So I think my parents did a really good job of being like, you know, idolize Tisha. Look at what she's doing. Look at her work ethic. Look where she is. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I'm only 5'5", so I don't really think the WNBA was going to be my career path, but I definitely long picked shot. Up those work ethics for sure.
Did you play in college or high school?
Yeah, I did. I played in high school. I got a scholarship to a D2 school in San Diego, and I played basketball there. And it wasn't as glamorous as I thought being a college athlete was going to be, which I don't know who actually thinks that, but I did. It was really hard. And the opposite of, you know, being at the top of high school, you're like, you know, you're the person on campus. Yeah, you won them the title. Then you go to college and they're like, we all did that. You suck. So I'm like, all right. Cool. So then I started studying journalism and I was like, I'll just write about basketball instead.
Amazing. Is your dad so excited that you went into that as a career?
Yeah, he is. And at first I didn't want to do that. I was like, I wanted to study fashion and do lifestyle. But then I kept gravitating towards sports stories or writing about sports on campus and college or even when I worked at a magazine, I would interview athletes. There was just that connection that was there that it was like, you know, we've kind of been through the same things. I understand. And yeah, that's what I kind of rolled with that. And that's how I kind of ended up at The Ringer.
Amazing.
Awesome. Have you had any fun interactions with any players besides the retweeting?
Oh my gosh, I totally fangirled about that. That just happened a couple of days ago, so that's like fresh on my mind.
Amazing.
I don't believe it.
We got the fresh scoop.
Oh my gosh. It's amazing. Like the jersey's like still right here. I just love it so much. I can't think of any other interactions. Well, another if I keep going down the really scary Russian doll thing, it's Ruthie Bolton who was also on that Monarchs team, and I got to actually play with her when I came back from college, and I was in Sacramento, and she was in this rec league that I was playing in. Which mm-hmm. I'm like, what? Also, she's like over 40, and she is still very good at basketball and wow. very ripped. She has like the best arms in the WNBA history, I think. Still the same, still very good at basketball, and that was really cool to just play with her. And
that's amazing.
Full circle again. My Monarchs, love them.
How did you feel when the Monarchs were? Because they're no more, right? Like when did that happen?
That was in, I believe, around 2005, 2006. Mm-hmm. And I was so sad, just as a fan, as mm-hmm. a, and just. Really, at that time, I was kind of seeing, you know, how the WNBA wasn't getting that much respect. To me, it was everything. And to my teammates and young girls growing up, it's like, this is the best thing in the world. Why doesn't everyone feel this way?
Right.
And especially, I mean, the Kings suck and they've always sucked. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you get rid of the only team that's won a championship in the city. Like, that doesn't even make sense. So everyone around Sacramento kind of had that same feeling. And it was the Maloof family that just didn't really invest in the WNBA and in their, you know, their women's league. And I feel like that's the main problem with the league right now is the owners. You know, the fans are going to be there. We love basketball. Just if you love basketball, period, you should like the WNBA. That's just a fact.
But for sure. For sure.
If the owners and the people with power and money don't respect the league, then it's not going to grow and expand. And I think that's exactly what happened to the Monarchs.
Such a sad story.
Yeah. My condolences.
Yeah.
I know.
So we're like relatively new fans to both the NBA and WNBA. And I think for us, it seems like they're really giving some more attention to it, like more recently, and, spotlighting players and highlighting things. I think like, I'm interested to know your perspective since you've been part of it for so much longer. Like, do you feel like that is improving in the league overall?
I definitely feel that way. And I think that this year specifically, it's been really cool to see people kind of wake up and be like, oh yeah, I forgot the WNBA was here, especially since it came back first from the pandemic. It kind of set the tone, even with the draft earlier this year. Mm-hmm. So it's been cool to see people recognize it and say, you know, I miss sports. I miss basketball, period. Let me tune in to these amazing women that are at the top of their game and they're professionals, which I'm like, hello, we've been doing this. Come on. But I have seen it improve. I'm hopeful that it keeps going in the right direction and people don't forget about it once, you know, it goes back to being kind of offset with the NBA. Mm-hmm. I think right now also with it being at the same time, you know, you're getting more in-game promos even. You're watching that, you know, Celtics and Heat game and they're like, hey,
true,
the WNBA comes on tomorrow and don't forget. So when the WNBA is normally played in the summer, I think that we should keep that going. We should say, okay, the NBA is about to end, but basketball is still happening. Like if you want to continue to watch basketball, the WNBA season is about to start. Like we have to change the narrative rather than, oh, okay, it's the women's turn. And like, if you want to watch, yeah, go ahead. But it should be, you're a fan of basketball. You love the sport. You get to watch it all year round, which is great. Yeah. That's the best part. Yeah,
I think, I agree with you. I'm wondering, like, I've been wondering though, is like, because they're on at the same time, is that, you know, are people too like overloaded with basketball to like, you know, give the W a shot when they maybe would have if the NBA wasn't happening at this time? But I'm curious if they're gonna like release any data on that. But also they're like, because of COVID, there's no way that data could be like actually useful because we don't know why people are tuning in or not tuning in because things are so crazy and fucked up right now. But
it's not like people can buy tickets and that's how you measure, you know, appeal.
But I feel like for me personally, like it's hard to keep up with the playoffs of one of the leagues at a time. So having them like simultaneously is just, you're doing nothing else but watching basketball, which a lot of people love doing that.
It's hard. Like we were talking about before, I have to record at least one or one and a half games like every day. Mm-hmm. And I think with the playoffs, I wish they would have staggered it because like we have no basketball on Mondays and no one cares about football. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares about football. So it's like they're trying to go it around Monday Night Football. But I wish it was staggered so that it was like 5 days a week. We had a game every night where we're double loaded some days, especially when, you know, the NBA playoffs were earlier and it was like three games a night.
Right.
Right.
So I wish you didn't have that choice. It was like on a silver platter, like the WNBA is waiting for you. Just come and watch because there's no NBA games on. And that's unfortunate. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we have to take away all the barriers that anybody would be like, but I can't watch because of this and I can't watch because of this. It's like, well, we took it all away and it's here. So just watch it, you dummy.
Exactly. And that's how the season started. Like, a lot of the players were like, you have nothing else to do. You are locked inside your house. Don't go outside. Just will your way to turn the remote on to watch women's basketball. And like, that was the advertising.
It's on ABC. It's on ESPN. Like, you can do this.
Yeah. Right. And that makes a big difference. Yeah.
Right. This is kind of the first year where it is on national television, which is kind of weird to think about. Like, if you didn't have League Pass, which is only $16, by the way, people, like, for the whole season. If you didn't have League Pass, you weren't able to watch kind of the obscure matchups that make basketball great. You could only watch the Breonna Stewart and Sue Bird versus, you know, like that Aces and Seattle game would have definitely been on ESPN. But then you've watched like two games all season because nothing else would be on national television, which sucks. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we ask almost all of our guests this question. Out of either league, who would you kiss? If all basketball players wanted to kiss you and you just had your choice.
Oh my God.
I'm going to say current players. Current active. Okay. Yeah.
Active players. Oh my gosh. That's a really good question.
Oh, I'm glad you. I'm always scared a little bit when I ask, to be honest, that people are going to be like, that's not what it's about. And it's like, well, sometimes it is.
I mean, sometimes it is. And it's like, who would I like to kiss, but who would I just want to experience that kiss with? Yeah.
Who would be good at it?
Yeah, like who would just be a good kisser?
Mm-hmm.
This is a good one. I feel like I'm taking way too long. And like,
no, please, you're fine. Take your time.
Please take your time. It's a really important answer. So
yeah. Also, this is kind of gotcha journalism. Like, we didn't mean to surprise you.
Should have warned you ahead of time.
I know. I probably would have come up with a really good answer with like lists of reasons why. I don't know where this is coming from, and maybe this is just like my first thought. But I wonder.
It's what your heart wants.
I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know why Kyle Kuzma is coming to my heart right now. I don't think I find him that attractive, but I kind of just like,
he's cute.
I kind of just want to see.
He's got a fun personality.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I feel like he'd, you know, be mixing it up, and it'd be interesting. I feel like that would be cool.
I think that's a great answer.
It is. Okay.
Yeah. He, cool. You know that he's like, you know, fun and funny, and you know, and I think he's a handsome guy. You know,
he is.
He's cool,
he's kind of a baby face, but I feel like maybe in like 5 years he'll be very mature looking.
Right. Yeah. I know. I know. Am I a cougar? He is like younger than me. He's dating Winnie Harlow, by the way, which
I love their Instagram photos and stuff. They're so cute together.
Okay. Maybe that's why I say that answer, because I feel like we'd have a fire Instagram picture, like either while we're kissing or like after we kiss, like he would get all the angles. He would really know how to, you know, find my light with my dark complexion. I really feel like he'd get that.
Yeah.
I don't know why I equated a good Instagram picture with good kisser, but that's where we are. It's 2020.
It is.
You gotta share your best kiss with the world.
Yeah. You gotta milk it for all it's worth. If you get one kiss.
Welcome to another All-Star Review. This is where we read the reviews that you leave for us on your podcast app of choice.
Today's review is from Marge. They say, I found out about this pod when the gals appeared on the Flagrant Ones. I love this pod. I now listen to two NBA podcasts and have still never watched an NBA game. This speaks to the quality of the podcast. You don't have to watch B-Ball to enjoy. I love the Dunkey Awards. Thank you so much. What a sweet review from someone who doesn't care about basketball at all.
If you want us to read your review, just leave us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or the app of your choice, and we'll read it on the show. So much happens in a week. We can't possibly cover it all. So we wrap it up in a little segment called Previously on Basketball.
I love it.
Previously on X-Men.
Basketball.
All right. The Lakers defeat the Nuggets, advancing to the NBA Finals for the first time in 10 years. Candace Parker wins her first Defensive Player of the Year award after 13 seasons in the WNBA. Alyssa Thomas dislocates her already injured shoulder, still leads the Sun to Game 3 victory over the Aces. Chicago Bulls hire new head coach Billy Donovan. Tyler Hero's clutch threes give the Heat a 3-2 lead over the Celtics. Joel Embiid and partner Anne DePaula welcome baby son Arthur. Karl Anthony Towns showers Jordan Woods with gifts at her 23rd birthday yacht party. I want a yacht party.
Yeah. Right? Let's watch this video of Karl Anthony Towns and Jordan Woods.
Please.
Have they been together for a while?
I asked the same thing.
I think it's new. They just recently came out, I think, publicly. Like, both posted each other on their Instagrams.
He gave her a Jordan jersey.
Okay. Jordan jersey. What? Like a bunch of like fancy purses.
She's just like wearing her Jordan jersey bathed in gifts.
With the glitter
signed
filter.
Signed by Michael Jordan.
What?
Signed by Michael Jordan. That's insane.
Oh, and they're both
now
wearing
them. On a, they're on a boat.
Yeah, maybe he's like, well, this is kind of my gift too. Like, I'm going to wear the Jordan jersey as well.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
Dang. He's in love. I mean, that's the behavior of a man in love.
He's got it
bad.
No
one's ever given me a Jordan jersey.
I know. I was about to say, you know, I thought I was in love, and I have not got the signed Jordan jersey. Dang. I have a Looney Tunes, like, from Space Jam Jordan jersey.
Oh, that's fun.
That's awesome.
Not a Toon signed. Squad?
Yeah, a Toon Squad. But I also didn't know about this couple. My boyfriend actually told me that today.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
it's new.
They've just been, sure. Yeah, keeping it under wraps, but...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's like palming
booty
her
grab.
Butt.
Yeah.
They're in some like tropical location. There's a bunch of photos of them on the beach looking into each other's eyes. It's very romantic.
Also, good for her.
Yeah.
I'm into it. It's a
honestly,
very cute
he's,
couple.
He seems so sweet. And, you know, he has had such a rough year. I'm glad he's enjoying a beautiful vacation with his lady.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I know. Oh,
good
guy.
For them. Good for them.
Let's ramp up to the. Let's not get to the Lakers quite yet. Let's look at Joel Embiid's baby announcement.
I also didn't know about this. This is breaking news for me. A lot of this.
Really?
Oh my gosh!
It's really cute. A photo of him and the baby, skin to skin.
He looks like he's breastfeeding.
He does.
He does. Also, Arthur? How?
It's his brother's name who passed away, which is really sad and sweet.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I didn't know he was about to have a baby. It was a surprise to me as well.
Almost a blessing that he left the bubble when he did so that he could be there.
First of 11 or more? He wants 11 kids?
Yeah, that's a red flag.
I'm just trying to build a soccer team, but for real, I'm so excited for the future. He wants a soccer team in his house.
It makes sense.
Those are going to be some big kids. I mean,
they're going to be massive. Playing soccer? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, well, congratulations to the new parents.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's watch this video of Jimmy Butler appreciating his teammate.
He's wearing Tyler Hero's high school jersey.
And he's walking in, like, so ridiculously.
Sauntering past Tyler Hero.
This is the
sauntering
best.
Sauntering is the right word.
How did he even get that? That was my question. Like, did he call Tyler Hero's mom and was like, can you send this to me right now?
He had it the next morning. It makes me think he already had it for some reason. Right?
I thought that too. I was like, he packed it and he was like, I'm going to bring this out when Tyler Hero scores 37 points and I'm just going to have it ready.
That's such an adorable thought, is that he's got all of his teammates' high school jerseys just whenever they have a good game. He's going to support them the next day.
It's so brand. Sweet.
I love him. I love him so much.
I'm so glad he found his team that he works
Me
well
too.
With.
Me too. Yeah. Jimmy Buckets is a very interesting character, and I feel like he needs a cast that supports that craziness. And I feel like the Miami Heat is perfect. I'm kind of sad I didn't think about it earlier. This is a perfect fit for him. I'm so happy.
Right. Same.
Yeah. Hashtag heat wave. I'm riding that heat wave.
Ride it. It's going to be great. Until they meet the Lakers. Sorry.
Let's talk about the Lakers. So last night, they were up 3-1. You know, everyone was like, okay, are they going to close it out tonight? And they did. They won the Western Conference Finals. Let's look at LeBron's reaction after winning. His feet hurt.
He's sitting stone-faced on the court, shoes off, slides off. Just sitting in the socks.
Just sitting in the confetti that dropped the confetti. When they won.
The confetti is the perfect part. It's just sprinkled around perfectly in the yellow and white.
Can he not just be happy to make
he's
to
on
be
to
making
the
to
next
the
game?
I mean, I get it. He's in that mindset, but like, it's worth celebrating, I think.
Especially this season, like this weird bubble season where everybody was just counting us out and that we were going to have an asterisk next to this championship if we were going to win. I get where he's coming from. I see him, you know, also this is his 10th time going. So he's like, okay, I've celebrated this so much, whatever, on to the next. But as a group of young guys that this is their first time, they're so starry eyed. And I feel like he's kind of sending the message of like, we didn't win anything yet. Like, yes, we won the Western Conference, but we have more work to do. And I hope that that's what he was signaling. And he even said, he's like, we're going to celebrate tonight, which he's probably just doing this while everyone's around him celebrating.
Yeah. But he's everyone's like, he's dancing around him as he's in the middle of the dance floor sitting.
Let's watch Caruso's response.
Caruso!
Hey, Alex, your first trip to the NBA Finals just a few days away. What does that make you feel? How excited are you?
Yeah, man, that's pretty awesome when you say it out loud. It sounds a lot cooler than I thought it was going to sound.
What
I guess
a
he
dork.
Didn't think that far ahead.
Caruso's great. Man, it's so interesting seeing him, like, he's just like shining on the court, like getting threes, like just really like doing some amazing stuff on the court. And then you're just like, wow, that guy is doing that stuff. He just does not look the part, but I'm so happy for him.
When Alex Caruso first came on the Lakers Summer League, I remember that day very specifically because I turned to my boyfriend and I was like, did we pick up like a 40-year-old? Like, I thought it was going to be one of those stories of like 40-year-old gets his chance. He's been in the G League for 10 years, which was a Lakers story like not too long ago. But I thought it was happening again because of, you know, hairline. He's like going bald. He hasn't let it go yet. But he's like younger than me. He's like early 20s. But he just, really? I love him because it's opportunity. Like, he shined from that summer league game till now. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think he gets enough minutes. We should build this team. Forget LeBron. Forget AD. build this team around Alex Caruso. How much money do you want, Caruso? Let's do it. Let's make it happen. He's that spark off the bench.
I know. I was thinking, like, how amazing would it be if they win the finals, if he gets finals MVP? And LeBron's like, what the fuck? And AD, they're like, wait, what?
AD would break down in tears in front of everyone. And then he would very much leave the Lakers because he's, you know, the drama queen. But yeah. I would actually love that. I think I would break down crying, like, as I want it. I'd be like, yes, Caruso. Or if LeBron wins it and then he's like, you know what? I have enough of these. Here, Caruso, you deserve it.
Just hand it off.
Yeah, just hands it off. Here, take the car. Take it. And Caruso's like, what?
That would be amazing.
That would never happen. But man, that would be cool if it did.
Not with how competitive these guys are. There's no way, but... What, it sounds like a plot to a movie for sure.
Yeah. So during this game, something baffling happened. Anthony Davis, you know, got a basket and then celebrated in maybe the oddest way possible. He's smelling his finger.
This grossed me out so bad. What?
How did I miss that?
Oh my God. I'm sorry that you missed it and we're showing it to you now. Like, I wish I had missed it.
It's so gross. I'm assuming it's gross, right?
Yeah.
I can't imagine it means anything but what we're all thinking it means.
Yeah. Ooh. I'm not even going to try to interpret that. No. You know?
I mean, maybe he was just like before the game, he was like, okay, I got to come up with something that people are going to like remember. And that's like,
I need people to talk
about
me on Twitter tomorrow.
Drama queen. I need to be talked about. Please love me. So I'm going to think of something really weird and then everyone's going to talk to me about it. Classic AD.
It worked.
We're talking about him asking
what the hell it was.
Oh, man.
I hope he doesn't bring it back.
I know. Don't. That's a one-time thing. Don't do it again. I also have this theory that AD is made of glass. And that's why every time he falls or does absolutely anything, I'm like, oh, my God, he's broken. We're going to have to bring the stretcher. Like, he's just drama. I think sometimes he just lays on the court because he's like, I want the camera to be on me for just a second. Only me, not LeBron. Right. So yeah, I can see that being his thing.
And he'll have like the worst explanation for it, like he did with the That's All Folks t-shirt, where it's like, oh, come on.
It was just there. Like, my stylist dresses me and I'm like, I have no control over what goes on my body. Like, I just lift my arms up.
I can't read my shirt.
My stylist just puts the shirt on for me. I have no control.
I close my eyes.
It is like,
you're right. He likes the drama for sure.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
All right. So any last words about the Lakers that you want to say about their Western Conference finals?
Yeah, I do. I think that we should bench Danny Green and completely try to sell his contract and give all his money to Alex Caruso. That's also what I think. And it needs to happen because he's a liability. Uh-huh. And I have thrown things at my television. I have yelled because it's not only that he's playing terribly, he's playing scared. He's like, oh, I don't even know if I want to shoot. I'm scared. I know I'm going to miss it. And I'm like, okay, go sit down. We don't need this. This is not the energy that we need, but he still starts. And so either, you know, he has something over Frank Vogel's family. I think it's also that too. It's like, is this mob ties? Because why else are you playing in any other team, in any other league? If you're not doing what a starter should be doing, you should not be playing. And then everyone's like, oh, he's playing defense. That's why he's there. Every person has scored on him. Jamal Murray had 40 on him. So it's like, no, don't give me that either. He's not doing what he's supposed to do. So give your money, sign your contract over to Alex Caruso. That's what I'm expecting. And that's what I need to happen. That's my last thoughts.
Okay. Well, great Frank last Vogel thoughts. Does, he does listen to this show, so I think he'll take that to heart.
Great.
All right. We're going to switch gears and talk about a WNBA game. For reference, here's where we're at right now. The Sun are up 2-1 win in their series, and the Storm are up 2-0 in their series. So these games are happening today, so we don't know yet what the outcome is. So by the time you guys hear this, you'll probably know if anyone's won a series yet. There's a good chance it's happening right now. But this week we watched the Minnesota Lynx at the Seattle Storm in game 2 of the WNBA semifinals on September 24th, 2020. Let's meet the girls.
Let's go, girls.
So on the Minnesota Lynx...
I love it!
That's so cute.
Cute.
We have starters Crystal Dangerfield, Odyssey Sims, Bridget Carlton, Nafisa Collier, and Damaris Dantas. Off the bench, we had Rachel Banham and Erica McCall. The head coach is Cheryl Reeve.
On the Storm. We've got Sue Bird. Sue Bird, Jewel Lloyd, Alicia Clark, Brianna Stewart, and Natasha Howard. Off the bench, Jordan Canada, Sammy Whitcomb, Mercedes Russell, head coach Gary Kloppenberg.
All right, let's get into the game.
Perfect. Perfectly synchronized.
Okay, so this game actually was delayed quite a bit because there were some inconclusive COVID tests. So this series, I think, was supposed to start like 3 days earlier or something. But so they were talking about how like everything's good. It was on the Storm, I believe. Everything's good. Everybody's healthy and no one actually had COVID, but they had some inconclusive tests, right?
Yes. And it was a little scary there for a second. People were like, is the bubble popping? You know, I feel like no one talks about the WNBA unless negative things are happening. Yeah. But it happened multiple times throughout the season too. Players had inconclusive tests that they just kind of blamed on bad test kits. And the rest of the team was able to play, but that player would just sit that game out. And this time it was 3 players, I believe, that had inconclusive tests. So they were like, we're shutting everything down. Just want to be on the safe side until they had to have negative tests for 24 hours before the next game. There was some theories going around that they shut it down because it was star Storm players rather than just role players. So they didn't want to play the game without, you know, Sue Bird or Brianna Stewart. So those are some rumors flying. But I think the commissioner, Kathy Engelbert, did the right thing. Just
for sure.
Paused it. You know, we didn't want anything to happen or for it to spread. You don't know where it was at on the team or on the other team. So I think she did the right thing.
I agree. Better safe than sorry, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
for sure. With 3 people, it's like they've all been in contact. The whole team could be, you know, not testing positive yet. So it's like, might as well just like pause everything and make sure everyone's okay.
Yeah.
So at the beginning of this, before the game started, Nafisa Collier read a statement from the players about Breonna Taylor. And something she said was essentially the lack of indictment for her murder was outrageous and offensive. And, you know, justice is on the ballot. And essentially the conversation during this game from the players and from the announcers was, we need to vote, you know, get out there and vote on or before November 3rd. And even Holly Rowe was like, the attorney general position is an elected position. You know, make sure you let them know what's up. yeah. let Daniel Cameron know this is not cool. And it's great. I mean, the WNBA has always been like this, but it's always like amazing that the whole, you know, organization, the from the media to the players to coaches, like everybody except for the owners. Yeah.
Ooh, don't even get me started there. But yeah, you know, the W has, like you said, have always been the forefront of everything regarding, you know, equal pay, social injustices. Even in 2016, you know, the Fever and the Lynx, they took a knee for police brutality right along with Kaepernick. And one of the first people to do so. And so this isn't anything new. Like I said, they're not new to this. They're true to this. This is just who they are as women of the W. But, you know, specifically this season where they have dedicated the whole season to Breonna Taylor and the Say Her Name campaign and wearing Breonna Taylor's name on the back of their jerseys as a reminder that we're not going to forget. And this is something that it was horrible that happened, and it is happening to Black women and Black and brown people all over the country. So I really admire them. And even throughout the season, you know, they took shot clock violations to make sure that the announcers talked about an initiative or talked about where to go vote. And each team would pick what they wanted to discuss during those, you know, that 24 seconds on air, and realizing that their platform and that their time on TV has to be bigger than basketball, has to be bigger than them. And I admire them for that. They're leaders in all the sense of the word. And it's unfortunate that, you know, this is what's happening in our country. And this is the reality. Even before the season, it's been happening. But that they chose to use their platforms in the best possible way for the Say Her Name campaign.
For real. Yeah.
Definitely.
They're so, like, you know, you have to think of like what these players have gone through in their personal lives too. So it's just like they're leading in so many ways, and it's really kind of admirable to see the support they get too.
I think it's so, like, it's so much to ask of them to be like, you need to be playing at a super high level. Like, we're in the playoffs, but also at the same time, like, balancing all these way more important issues that are happening and that you want to spotlight. And for them to have to, you know, juggle both of those things, it's a lot to expect from anyone. And I really respect the way they did it. And obviously everybody was disappointed with the outcome of the case, and it's horrible, but I think like the W especially needs that. They need to get the credit because they, you know, even though the NBA was very vocal and loud about it, like the W is where it started. So,
right.
Shout out.
Definitely.
To them.
Yeah. And Angel McCautry from the Aces, it was her idea to start with putting Breonna Taylor's name, and George Floyd's name on the jerseys. That was her idea. The NBA ran with it and was like, we're not going to do that. We don't want to single people out, but we're going to do these phrases. And everyone's like, the NBA is doing these phrases. It's so great. Mm-hmm. It's like, where did it start from? It started from Angel McCautry, from the WNBA, a Black woman. Like, we have to be able to appreciate and give the credit where it's due. But it's also not about that. It's about the overall message. And that's what, when I talked to her, that's exactly what she said. She's like, I don't really want the credit. I'm just happy that it's happening and that it is bigger than basketball. And that's what we're talking about, rather than stats and figures. It's the bigger things that are going on in the world.
Totally.
Definitely.
So going into this game, everyone was wondering if the Lynx were going to step up. You know, the Storm were up by one, and, you know, there's a lot of questions coming into it. It's so funny. I guess we haven't watched a ton of Lynx games, and I've heard so much about Cheryl Reeve and have like read about her and how great of a coach she is. But watching her yelling on the side of the court and how
yes.
in it she is, I mean, it was very interesting to watch. She's you and the because it's so silent in there because they don't, you know, have a crowd. You could really hear what she was saying, too.
You hear everything, and I love it. And she's usually mic'd up, so she was actually mic'd up so that they can, you know, do the breakaway, like, wired. But I love watching her because she actively turns it on and off, which is my favorite thing, because she's like, I'm about to cuss right now. Click off. And then she yells at somebody, clicks back on. Let's go, ladies. Like, I love that part, to seeing her, like, in her mind, like, make sure to turn your microphone off because you're about to say some shit right now.
That is so funny.
I love that. Amazing.
Yeah.
So this game was, I mean, for the most part, I feel like the Storm were in the lead by a lot. So yeah. It was kind of a blowout.
I know. I was really disappointed because I picked that game thinking it was going to be great, because the first game was a buzzer beater. And yeah. I was like, oh, they're going to come out. They're going to be fired up. It's going to go toe to toe. And then that just did not happen. And the Storm were like, yeah, we were tired. We just needed a break. That was weird. And yeah, so I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Jewel Lloyd was like going off in this game. She's so impressive to watch. Also, one of the people, we always talk about how the WNBA has like some of the best names, like the players have some of the best names, and she's on my list. Jewel Lloyd, great name. But they talked a lot.
That sounds like an old Hollywood actress or something.
Totally. Yes.
This is Jewel. Amazing. Wow. Yeah. What are some of your other ones? I'm curious.
I love Dawana Bonner. I think that's just like, it just rolls off your tongue.
It's so good. I'm a fan of Jordan Canada.
Jordan I-N. I'm a little biased. We're A-N over here, but the I-N crew. Yeah, that's other Jordans.
Odyssey Sims is an amazing name. Oh my God. And they showed her little baby that she had a baby like 5 months ago or something, 4 months ago.
Yeah. She came back 4 months after having a baby.
It's insane. And she's so good. She's so good.
Yeah. And I was thinking about that because I was giving her credit. Like, wow, she came back 4 months after. But she was pregnant for 9 months before that. So she really hasn't been, like, over a year. She hasn't played at a high level. And she just scores, you know, 20 points on you like nothing. And you're like, that's when I have the existential crisis. Like, I haven't had a baby and I could never do those things. So that's just, they're just really good at what they do.
It's so impressive. It's like NBA players could never.
Could never. They would never even be able to give birth. They would be like such babies about it. And I think they said that she had started working out like 3 weeks after giving birth, which is, people don't realize how much it wears on your body to give birth to a human.
To a human being. We're furthering the population as women that have to go out there and just play professional basketball. It's like, are you kidding me? And that Skylar Diggins-Smith was very outspoken about this, where last season she took the year off. But the season before that, she played majority of the season pregnant. Did not tell anybody. Made the all-star team pregnant.
Oh my God. It's mind-boggling.
I can't believe it. What?
Like, I can't wait till I'm pregnant so I just sit on the couch. I'm not going to be like, oh, let me go make an all-star team. Like, that just blows my mind.
I get tired after recording one podcast.
Like, me too. And all we do is stay here. We're not doing anything.
There's no way. I just took my dog for a walk and I was winded just going around the block. Then I tried to like sit down on the ground and my knees were like,
oh my God,
cracking everywhere. My mom came from the other room and was like, are you okay? So I couldn't have made it. I couldn't have made it.
Yeah, it's so impressive. She's so good and fun to watch too. Her and Nafisa Collier were really the ones like keeping the links, you know, sort of in this, I would say.
Yeah, and Afisa got in foul trouble, which that sucked for them. Yeah,
that really sucked.
For sure. Yeah, there was a point in like the third quarter where the Lynx were starting to close the gap a bit, but then that was like the one exciting part where it was like, maybe, and I was like, no.
And they're good at that, because that's pretty much what they did in game one and kind of what they've been doing all season. They're like the Nuggets in that sense. Like, they are the comeback kids. They kind of dig themselves a little bit of a hole, but they come back, they keep it close, they keep it interesting. But yeah, then Joel Lloyd happened and Breonna Stewart happened, and you're like, oh yeah, yeah, they don't have a chance. It kind of faded away very quickly.
I mean, it's crazy how stacked that the Storm team is. Like, if they're defending hard on one player, it doesn't matter. They've got, you know, a whole other, you know, four other players who are able to make those shots. And I don't know. I think it was still a fun game. You know, like Agata was saying, that in the third, I think the third ended, it was like 62-68. So it's like, okay, they can do this in the fourth. They got this. And the Storm just went on a run in the fourth quarter. And
yeah, it's really not fair. No. Seattle is a very, very good team. But I think what was my favorite part of watching at the beginning of the season, I really paid attention to who had fast starts. And I was like, you know, they're in a bubble, they've been off. What team is really going to gel well from the jump? And Seattle was that team. They came in the bubble in incredible shape. And I remember Minnesota was one of the first games that they played, and Minnesota had to use all their timeouts. They were dead tired. And even, you know, just conditioning playing a huge part, and their chemistry. They didn't have Breonna Stewart last year. They were determined from the jump to say, you know, we made it pretty far without you. We know we can make it all the way with you. And that's what's been their momentum for the whole season. So it only makes sense that they get close to the finals, that they continue that.
Amazing. Sure. The final score was 79-89. Storm took it. Jewel Lloyd had 20 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. In her interview, she said, she was like, just trying to do my job, which I thought was, I'm like, all right, very humble.
They call her the Golden Mamba. That's what they call her. She has that Mamba mentality in her. And I think this game, I've always loved Jewel Lloyd, but I think this game, I really sat back and was like, I think she's one of my favorite players. I think I really love watching her play. I love watching her get her shots. I love the confidence that she has. Even on this stacked roster, you could really fall back and say, oh, let me be passive and give it to Suber, give it to Alicia Clark. She's has a great 3-point percentage, but she looks for her shot and she leads her team. And I was like, wow, I really love Jewel Lloyd for her name and for the type of player that she is.
Yeah. And they talked about how Kobe was her mentor, and they showed a text that she sent Kobe saying, how do you get out of a shooting funk? And he said, there's no such thing as a funk. There's just the next shot. And it does seem like it makes sense that you love how she plays, because she learned a lot from Kobe.
I was sad that it took me that long to be like, this makes sense. Connect the dots. But it is. She has that mom mentality. She never gives up. She plays the whole game at an incredibly high rate. And I love that little DM message of, that was also classic Kobe, right? Like, what? We're never bad. We're just, it's the next shot.
What that word means.
Yeah. What's a funk? What? I loved that. And I think that she channels that. She's had some slumps in the middle of the season, but she's peaking at the perfect time.
Yeah, for sure. All right. We completely forgot to tell you about this, but we give out awards at the end of every game that we talk about. We call them donkeys, and we give them for any arbitrary category that we make up on the spot. So let's give out some donkeys.
Donkey!
So we always give most points, and that has to go to the Seattle Storm. They got the most points.
Yeah, they won that. They're scoring a lot of baskets in basketball throughout the whole season. They deserve it. Good job.
I want to give a dunkie to Breonna Stewart for just always keeping a level of excellence that's fun to watch. I love her so much.
At one point she did a really long two and missed, got her own rebound and laid it in. She's like, it's like, you're a one woman show. It was amazing.
It's kind of ridiculous. Sometimes I get angry that she's that tall and that great at what she does. Because, and that was a fun part about game one, right? Like, Nafisa was blocking her shot and everybody was like, Nafisa's the greatest basketball player ever because she's stopping Breonna Stewart. And that was like the bar. Nafisa's great, but it's like, if she can be stopped in any way possible, you get an award because she's that great. But it is. I think Breonna Stewart is doing amazing things for the women game. And love hearing men that don't watch the WNBA be like, oh yeah, well, that Breonna Stewart, I think I've watched a couple of clips of her. She's pretty good. And I'm like, you have no idea how great she is. Put some respect on her name. She's amazing. Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think I'm going to give the... how do I want to say this? Hardest working mama award to Odyssey Sims.
Yes, that's a good one.
She has her baby there in the bubble with her, I believe, too. He's been to a couple games.
So cute.
I love that. Jaden. Does he wear the little baby headphones?
I think he does.
Those. Yeah. Those are so cute. But so it is kind of, I mean, it is kind of quiet in there. So it'd probably just be the headphones from Cheryl Reeves yelling. But besides that, it's just like shoes squeaking, which I love. I love it.
Oh, me too. I love a squeaky.
I wish I could get in there. Just hear everything.
Do you have any dunkies you'd want to give, Jordan?
I would. I would say, I don't know how to, maybe like breakout star in Bridget Carleton. I think she had a really great game and she came out in that first quarter and she was draining those three. She like had the franchise record this season for 3-point percentage. And that's somebody who I think she only played like 10 minutes last season.
Wow.
And now she, you know, Sylvia Fowles being hurt from her calf injury, she stepped into a starting role and really has produced. And so I think that next year she's going to build on this confidence and keep it going. But I'm so happy for her that she's breaking out this year. So congrats, Bridget.
Nice.
Calvin. Amazing. Gabe, do you have any?
At one point, Sue Bird passed it to Breonna Stewart and Ryan Rucco said that she pizza pied it over to.
I wrote that down too.
I'd never heard that in basketball before. So I'm just going to give best pizza pie to Sue Bird.
Perfect.
What does that mean?
I guess it means like slice it, because it was like a really like sharp pass. But I was racking my brain like, what does he mean pizza pied it over?
I literally just imagine the ball like going in a rotated motion as if you're like doing the dough. But just like a little flip like that. Oh, Ryan Rucco. What would the W be without you?
I want to give a award to Ryan Rucco because when they showed Odyssey Sims' baby, he went, oh, look at that little guy. And it was so cute. I was like, yes, I want to just like see Ryan Rucco with babies all the time.
And there are so many babies in the Wubble too. I love that was like a featured story of the WNBA Wubble because they have to bring their kids because they're moms. Yeah. It's like, yeah, of course they will. And I love that they were, you know, giving a couple kids like internships and like, like being the photographer and just like, it's so cute. I love kids. Cute. They're adorable.
All right. Let's see who won the donkeys. So do some calculating here. It looks like it's the Storm. They have three donkeys. Lynx have two. Ryan Rocco has one.
The outlier.
Yeah. So it's got to go to the Storm. Congratulations.
Yay.
Congratulations, Storm.
The Storm wins the game and the donkeys. Donkeys arguably more important.
Yes, that's true.
I would agree.
All right, so next week we're going to cover an NBA Finals game. Who knows what's going to happen? Is it going to be Lakers versus Heat, Lakers versus Celtics? Tune in. I mean, you'll probably find out from the TV. But
who do you want it to be, Jordan?
I've thought about this. I think if it's the Celtics, we get a lot of like nostalgia and how the Celtics won 9 of the meetings against the Lakers. And we are like, go back and are forced to watch Larry Bird highlights. And it's just like, let's try to do something different. The Heat, I feel like, are really, really good team, and they are scrappy and they play very hard. And so I want us to beat the Heat to show like we played harder than them. And that's why we won. Because I feel like a lot of people, myself included, feel like the Lakers don't play hard all the time. So if we beat the Heat, that would mean that we outworked them. We scored more points than them, but we also played harder than them. And, you know, we're going to get that whole storyline of LeBron was with the Heat and he took them. Is it going to be the same? Yeah, it's going to be the whole banana boat.
We'll see banana boat photos.
Yes, yes. Just a slideshow of that one photo, just over and over. Halftime show, banana boat. But yeah, so I know what storylines we're gonna get and we're gonna talk about, but I want to see the Heat because I want to beat them to show that we did it. And also, let me say, Clippers fans, go fishing. Go retire. Do not come into the conversation saying that, oh, Clippers would have beat the Lakers. No, that's not a conversation because you lost to the team that we beat. So that's not a thing. So Clippers fans, bye.
Take a vacation.
You're not invited into this chat. Yeah. Yeah. Go to Cancun with Dame Lillard.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly am excited to see whichever matchup, but I think the Heat are going to beat the Celtics. So I think it will be Lakers Heat in the final. So
I want the Heat for sure, but I want the Heat to win it all. Sorry.
Agata predicted in October that the Heat were just randomly. She was like, I think just for fun, let's say the Heat win everything.
I saw that.
Yeah, I just want to be right. So that's my main motivating factor.
I think of the matchup from Tyler Hero and Alex Caruso of like being invited to the cookout matchup is amazing. And I think that's what this nation deserves, also, you know, for quality purposes.
What about the Tyler Hero Kuzma Instagram battle that will happen?
Oh my God. I just realized that. And I think I'm going to have to turn my notifications on. I think I'm going to have to compile a list of the captions because you already know they're going to be great with the photos, with the filters. Wow.
Yes,
that's going to be good.
Beautiful.
Clear the court. Put Tyler Hero and Kuzma at center court with their iPhones, just coming up with the best caption and getting the best filter. I'd watch it.
Can't wait.
For sure. For sure.
Let's all hope the Celtics lose. Sorry to our Celtics listeners. All right. Let's. Okay. So we don't have a mail basket for this week, but we do want some more messages and emails. If you guys want to send us something, you can email us at hi@duck.town or leave a message at 903-420-DUNK and talk about your team, your favorite players, whatever's going on in your life, anything at all. Jordan, thank you so much for being here. Is there anything you'd like to plug?
Check out my stories on theringer.com covering the WNBA and follow me on Twitter @_JordanLiggins.
Yay. Everyone should. thank you so much for coming on. It's been so fun chatting with you.
Yeah.
thank you for having me. This has been a blast. And I think I'm going to think about that kissing question probably way more than I should. But I'm going to come back with another.
Come up with another answer, you can always come let us know.
Yeah, let us know. We'd love to hear it.
Anastasia, is there anything you want to plug?
Let's see. You know, there's a couple podcasts. One is it's old. It's like over a year old at this point, but it's so good. And if you like history and American history and hearing how horrible America is, listen to the 1619 podcast. It's such a good, it's so well done. I just love hearing stories, people's stories. And, they like essentially tie the very beginning of slavery in America to what's happening today in America and hearing like very personal stories today in America. And it's so well done. I highly, highly recommend it. Agata, do you have anything you would like to plug?
Yeah, mine is not as important sounding as that. I want to plug the Real Housewives of Potomac. I've been watching it recently and it's amazing. It's just like very fun. And so well done. And the women are like very fun to follow. And I believe it's like gotta be, I mean, I haven't watched them all, but out of the ones I've seen, it's the best Real Housewives series I've seen so far. People have talked about it a lot. So I'm excited to finish it.
Potomac, is that the DC area?
Yeah, it's outside of DC, like Maryland. Oh, wow.
Okay. Amazing.
So it ties into political stuff a little bit.
There you go.
I mean, they do talk about Obama.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Gabe, do you have anything?
Not really. Just our Patreon is still going at patreon.com/dunktown. And we're going to be doing our live stream because we met our first goal. Yay. And that's going to be one of the finals games. So we haven't exactly gotten the schedule for the finals yet. And as soon as we do, I'm sure we'll be announcing when that game will be. But yeah, sign up to our Patreon.
Yeah, if you want to watch with us, sign up at patreon.com/dunktown. Thanks to everyone, as always, for coming on this journey with us. We love you.
Love you. Bye. Bye.
For more Dunktown content, check out our Patreon. It's patreon.com/dunktown. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Dunktown Podcast. I am on Twitter at @echo_mint and on Instagram at @agatamonica. Anastasia is on both at @anastasiavigo. Check out our website, dunk.town. If you like the show, please write us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you listen. We always really appreciate those. We have t-shirts, stickers, hoodies, and more available for sale at dunk.town/store. Thank you to Andrea Tomingus for the Dunktown design, and thank you to Andrew Bear for our original music for the show. Sources and references from this episode can be found in the episode description.